Hello and welcome back to the Jervis Bay Weekend Podcast, the audio companion to your favourite South Coast lifestyle magazine. My name is Sam and I'm the editor and your host for these weekly podcasts. Thank you for the positive feedback on our first episode last week. It turns out you love hearing stories directly from the people shaping our region just as much as we love highlighting them. This week we're diving deeper into the heartbeat of our community. From a local athlete taking on the world stage to a massive local effort to secure the future of our communal sports and social spaces. But before we meet our first guest, this episode is brought to you by Greenhouse Huskisson. If you're looking to break the monotony of working from home, Greenhouse is the premier co-working space right in the heart of Husky. Whether you need a desk for the day, a professional meeting room, or a space to host a seminar or an event, they've got you covered, complete with some of the most stunning views over the bay. Now, our first story today is one of pure local pride. In a couple of weeks, local athlete Sam Stubbs is heading to San Jose in the US to compete in the World Championship Adaptive CrossFit Games. Sam has been putting in monumental work, and the whole town is rallying behind him. I caught up with his mother, Deborah Stubbs, to talk about Sam's journey and a fundraising effort and a send-off party happening this Saturday at Jervis Bay Brewing Company. Here's Deborah. I'm here with Deborah, who is the mother of Sam Stubbs. Hi, Deborah.
Hello there.
Your son is an extraordinary athlete. I hear this is the second year that he's qualified for the World Championship Adaptive CrossFit Games. What happened last year?
Yes, he did qualify. He got through the heats and then through the semi-finals through to the finals, which was in America. But unfortunately, it's quite an expensive trip over there. And he happened to also, on the same date, have the AFL grand final of his local team, and he's in that local team, and they did end up winning the grand final. So that's something that doesn't happen every year. So we did postpone last year's event, but then it's come round again this year. And even though he actually got really sick last year, it's a bit of a fairy tale because he's come from being really unwell in ICU at St George Hospital in Sydney in November to sort of fighting back and qualifying again, getting through the heats, through the semi-finals, and now has qualified to represent Australia in the World CrossFit Championships in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's an incredible story and so well-deserved too, because what a team player. He didn't want to leave his AFL team in the lurch and head off on an adventure. He stayed to play with the team, and what a great result that was for them as well. So it must be thrilling for you as his parents and also his trainers and his carers that he's qualified again, and you're off to San Jose in a couple of weeks. So what are you looking forward to most about that?
I think just seeing him, because the qualifiers and the semis, you actually do in your own local gym, which we did in CrossFit Husky here locally. And he can, from his house, he can just ride his bike there. So that's been awesome. And he's been involved with them for, he's gone through, a couple of owners. but he's been involved with them since his teens. But he's really, really stepped it up now. But in terms of what we're looking forward to is probably actually seeing him in a stadium rather than at his local gym. So that's going to be super exciting.
I understand you were up in Queensland recently for a similar event, and that would have created a bit of a practice run for you.
Yeah, so that's why we decided to go up to the Gold Coast, and he was in the Oceania CrossFit Games. So that was sort of a bit of a dry run. He did really well. And I probably should point out, with the World Cross, and obviously going through to the Worlds, that wasn't part of the qualification. You had to qualify, separately, go through the qualification process. But the Oceania Games was definitely a really, really good practice run for the Worlds. And the wonderful thing about the world with the CrossFit competitions is that they do have adaptive divisions, and so as far as we're aware, they're the only sport that actually have a specific category for athletes who have an intellectual disability but also a chromosome condition. So if Sam is just competing with other athletes who have an intellectual disability, they don't take into account that people with the Down syndrome also have some physical sort of challenges when it comes to competing on a level, you know, sort of a playing field where there's people with intellectual disability who may not have any sort of physical challenges. So obviously people with Down syndrome have low muscle tone, they have lax ligaments, they're shorter stature, they've got shorter, you know, sort of fingers. So, you know, they there is some challenges they have to overcome. And so the great thing is in CrossFit, they've actually got that adaptive category for not just Down syndrome, but athletes with that chromosome condition.
And several other divisions, I understand, as well. So they're one of the most inclusive games, giving opportunities for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we were up in the Oceania Games, you know, there were people there, you know, competing in wheelchairs, athletes with Parkinson's, athletes with, you know, amputees, cerebral palsy. Everyone you can imagine, which is how it should be. It was fantastic. And they were, yeah, competing alongside their fellow peers, and it was an absolutely brilliant atmosphere. So obviously this World Championships is going to be bigger and better.
Yes, I'm sure the atmosphere over there is going to be electric. And on the way there, there's a fundraiser happening at the Jervis Bay Brewing Co. this Saturday afternoon. What's happening at the tap room, Deborah?
Well, we have been blown away. We thought about having a bit of a send-off for Sam to celebrate that he's representing Australia, and just chatted to a few of his, the community at the CrossFit Husky gym. And then somebody said, oh, why don't we do a fundraiser? And, I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of taken on a force of its own. We're so humbled by our amazing local community. We've had so many people donating prizes. So we've got 30 prizes in our raffle. We've got some amazing auction items. And then we've got lots of lucky draw prizes. So hopefully everyone's a winner.
That sounds great, and that's taking off at 3 o'clock this Saturday. Now, how much are the raffle tickets?
So they're $10 each, you've got good odds.
It sounds like it. And one last thing before I let you go, what is it about Sam essentially that makes him such a committed athlete?
I think he's always been very enthusiastic about life. And it's his determination, I guess. He's just determined to give things a go. So, you know, it's not just CrossFit that he does. You know, he has a job, he has a girlfriend, you know, he rides his bike everywhere, he does triathlons, he plays AFL, he surfs. He just likes to give everything a go. So, he's good fun.
Well, I think we can all take a leaf. Yeah, I think we can all take a leaf out of Sam's book.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, he's definitely enthusiastic about life, and it's infectious.
Well, I wish you all the very best, and I'll see you at the brewery on Saturday. Thanks, Deborah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sam.
What a role model Sam is, and what a testament to the South Coast spirit to see so many local businesses donating over 30 raffle prizes and auction items for this Saturday. Make sure you head down to the Jervis Bay Brewing Co. to give him the send-off he deserves from 3 p.m. Now, our next two conversations touch on a historic milestone for our local community and sports infrastructure. The Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club is making serious progress with the de-amalgamation of the former Vincentia Golf Club from the Country Club St George's Basin. The goal? To form a new independent local club, run by locals for locals. I spoke with Tom Karp, one of the directors of the new organisation, about a vital element of their strategy, community pledges. Tom explained what it means to promise a future financial donation, how it shows the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority the groundswell of local support, and why it's a critical element to proving the viability of a new independent club. Let's hear from Tom. I'm speaking with Tom Karp, who's one of the directors and actually the deputy chair of the Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club, which is making good progress on its bid to de-amalgamate the former Vincentia Golf Club from the Country Club St George's Basin and become a new club for the community in our region. Tom, how's the new organisation progressing with fundraising to become a new community club?
Yes, Sam. Well, look, we started taking donations late last year, and people can donate directly to us, but through a body called the Australian Sports Foundation. If they do that, they then get a tax deduction for their donation. And we've raised about $80,000 through that process. We also run a number of events, trivia nights and monthly sort of get-togethers, have a drink and a burger, and that raises money. We produce some T-shirts and sold them and raise money. So we're doing a number of things. But one of the other things that people in the community can do to support us is actually pledge that they will give us more donations if we are actually successful with de-amalgamation.
So a pledge is basically a promise that once the new club is up and running, that people will then honour the amount of money that they've promised to you. Is that how it works?
Yes, it is. And again, that pledge is listed, if you like, with the Australian Sports Foundation, so that if we are successful with the de-amalgamation, then people can honour their promise or their pledge with that donation and again get a tax deduction.
Oh, that's great. And what do you hope to use that money for?
Well, we have also got a company, which is a construction company. It grew up in this area in the Shoalhaven, and they're supporting us with a loan to help pay the country club to buy the club back and a little bit more to help us with some working capital. But if we do get it back and we are successful, we want to turn this into a community club, which means we're going to have to either significantly remodel the clubhouse or knock it down and build a more family-friendly type clubhouse with an accessible bar and restaurant and maybe children's playground and possibly other sports facilities such as pickleball courts or maybe even golf simulators. We're looking at all of those things. So, and that costs money. So unfortunately, you do need money. You need to spend money to improve the facilities so that the community and in particular families in the area will be attracted to the place, and that will make us more financially viable.
Yes. And so how many pledges have you got so far? How many people have promised you some money in the future?
I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. I think it's not particularly large in number terms at the moment. I think it's only of the order of 20 or so, but some of those pledges are for actually quite large amounts. So the amount of money that has been pledged is over $300,000.
Okay, well, that should put in a decent children's playground.
Yes.
Yeah. And what's the significance of pledges? You've got to take this bid to the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority for the final approval to turn into a club. What do they look at with pledges?
Well, what they look at in total is whether we're going to be financially viable and whether the members of the country club and all the old members of the Vincentia Golf Club have voted to go ahead with the amalgamation. So they look at that process and whether we're going to be financially viable. But they also look at what impact the new club would have on the community. And in particular, they will look at what is the level of community support. So our volume and number of donations and pledges will definitely help us prove to them that we have a lot of community support, and also the fact that we want to be a family-friendly club and offer these other facilities, that will also demonstrate that we'll have a positive impact on the community.
So the more people who make even a small pledge is a good indication of the strength of community support for the new club.
Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, the more people that get on the train, so to speak, the more momentum we have and the higher chance we'll be successful.
And what's the current timeline looking like for this de-amalgamation process?
Well, it is a complex process and there's a lot of legalities involved. We initially had hoped we might have completed it by 30th of June this year. Now that's come and gone. We are getting towards the pointy end of this process. We're still not 100% sure. We're with the country club negotiating what's called a de-amalgamation deed, essentially a contract of us buying the old club off them with a few other clauses. And we also have to demonstrate to an independent accountant that our plan to operate will make us financially viable. So those two things are happening right now, and they have been happening for the last couple of months. And look, we don't have a definite date because the whole process is somewhat complex and there's a lot of timelines involved. After all the votes, it has to go to the Independent Liquor and Gaming Authority. They will probably take maybe a couple of months to assess all of that. So we're hopeful that we can get this done by the end of this year, 2026.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. So for anybody wishing to find out more about the journey of the Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club so far, go to jbcsc.com.au, where you can sign up for regular updates that come via email. And if you would like to add your support to the club's future, you'll find information about how to pledge under the fundraising tab. Thanks for the update, Tom.
That's okay. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having us.
Well, that's really a powerful reminder of what can happen when a community decides to take ownership of its local spaces. To get that independence across the line, yes, it takes strategy, but it also takes a bit of celebration. To tell us about how we can support the cause while having a great night out, I caught up with Kathy Godwin. Kathy is also a director of the Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club, and she's on the team organising an event called Light Up the Night at Warrowing on Saturday the 8th of August. It will be an evening of live music and entertainment, raffles and silent auctions set against the backdrop of Warrowing's 250-acre estate in the heart of Jervis Bay, complete with some of our region's favourite food and beverage trucks on site. Here's Kathy with all the details. I'm here with Kathy Godwin, who's one of the directors of Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club and also a member of their very active fundraising committee, who've organised a bit of a party coming up on the 8th of August. Kathy, tell me about the event.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to lighting up the night at Warrowing. The idea is to have lots of fun of the whole community and raise funds for Jervis Bay Community and Sports Club, which we nicknamed JBCSC. So you might get a little bit confused, but we're very excited to be using Warrowing on the back of their brand new opening up of the Melaleuca Gallery, and that's going to be very, very exciting.
It's a lovely space, actually. I had the pleasure of having a look at the first art show that they've opened there recently, which is by our local artist Randall Cinnamon, and it's a big show. It's absolutely gorgeous, actually. Yeah.
I expect that quite a few people don't know about Warrowing, but it's actually an historic site for the Shoalhaven.
It's really right down in the heart near Vincentia there, where the coast meets the country, and they provide a lot of luxury accommodations, weddings and events, including community events. So we're very, very grateful that they can actually support us with this.
So
we're really looking forward to it.
Why is it so important for the community to gather for an event like this?
Yeah, well, we're, at the moment we're progressing the amalgamation. All funds raised will be used to help cover the essential business, legal and start-up costs necessary for JBCSE to launch successfully. We've got lots of things that we want to start with. The more funds we can raise, the better our opening can be. We're hoping we'll be starting off humbly with the old golf club, and obviously it costs a lot of money to go through all the hoops of de-amalgamation process, but also to then get our staff trained and our volunteers trained across golf operations, hospitality, maintenance, and also create a new community vibe there, because Jervis Bay Community Sports Club have the word community at the heart of this, and this is the idea, is to provide a place for a big, strong, country, wholesome community vibe where families can all get together, friends, and also tourists can enjoy our beautiful area and the lovely landscape, the green space that we have up there.
Yes, it is a stunning location up there. I love the fact that you've got community at the heart of the name of the new club, and the fundraising committee has been working really hard on getting the message out into the community, haven't you? You've been doing some regular monthly events as well.
Yes, yeah, we've been for quite some time, since January, been running community engagement events down at Mercy's, down at Huskisson, as well as pop-up stores. And in fact, we've had like 11 meat tray raffles, 303 games of trivia played down at Mercy's since then, and sold 430 raffle packs. And we've raised nearly $5,000 out of 5 months, which has been wonderful. It's been well supported. Also well supported by 217 volunteers that have reached out, and they're a great success story that shows that our community can get together and make a big difference for our new club.
So this event coming up on the 8th of August at Warrowing really is a party to celebrate those community efforts.
Absolutely.
I think it's time we all got together and applauded your efforts.
Yes, well, it's a whole effort. It's obviously every single person, whatever they do and whatever they're saying, makes a big difference. And having everyone together to celebrate, light up the night at Warrowing is a great way of thinking of it. We certainly will be doing that with lots of fun. We've got lots of live music planned, a great MC, and lots of catering as well. But obviously the most important part of the evening will be the auction raffles and the lucky door prizes. So everyone should be encouraged to either bring their money or their card and help make the evening a success.
Yes, I think that's going to make a big difference to the funds raised on the night, isn't it? Are you still looking for items for donation for the auction and for the raffles?
Yes, we are. We certainly are. We have a great fundraising team that you can email through donate@jbcse.com.au. If you have anything for collection, or if you'd like to have a chat to any of our fundraising team. We're looking for more vouchers, products, services, maybe, or gift baskets, or other items. Maybe it's a few bottles of wine. We've got some lovely local artists as well. Some paintings would be great to auction those as well. I want to thank you, Sam, very much for kindly donating some Jervis Bay weekend towels, beach towels. That sounds wonderful. Certainly something I'd be very interested in.
Well, hopefully they can be packaged up with a few nice items into a hamper for one of the raffle prizes. I would certainly buy tickets to that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And of course, we can take cash donations on the 9th, or you can use a card, but they're all non-taxable deductions. But those that who are seeking for any tax deduction purposes will be directed by a fundraising crew to the ASF platform, where all donations are tax deductible over $2. Otherwise, I've got a friend who's not going to be there, and he's going to sling me a couple of $100 to take and buy some things on his behalf, which is just awesome. So for those of you who have got elderly parents and they can't come out, or for whatever reason they might be travelling, it would be great to reach out to them and see if they'd like to give you some cash to bring on the night. It would be wonderful.
That's right. Sell more raffle tickets.
Absolutely, some raffle tickets.
Well, the fundraising party starts at 4 p.m. at Warrowing's new venue, Melaleuca, with music, an auction and raffles with great prizes. It's a celebration of the community efforts to establish a new club for our region. The tickets are just shy of $50 a head, and that includes grazing plates on arrival. There'll be food and beverages available from catering trucks on site for the event, and you can find out more and book your tickets at jbcsc.com.au. Thank you very much, Kathy.
No worries.
We'll see you there on the night.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Okay, bye for now. A night under the stars at Warrowing for a great local cause is exactly what a Jervis Bay weekend is all about. Before we wrap up our second episode, thank you to our second sponsor this week, the Arts Muster Festival. Coming to Huskisson for 4 immersive days this winter, from August 27th to 30th, Arts Muster is offering 19 events, including 12 brilliant 2-day workshops. The Arts Muster ethos is let's make things together. So if you're looking for an immersive cultural experience to spark your creativity this winter, head over to artsmuster.com.au and check out the full program. Thanks for listening to our second episode, and be sure to head over to jervisbayweekend.com.au for more articles and event links. Have a wonderful weekend out on the bay, and I'll catch you next Thursday.